Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Amen. Let's go before Him in prayer this evening. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we count it a great privilege and an honor, Lord, to gather once again in this little building here, Lord, that we call church. Lord, we're so very thankful for the desire, Lord, we have to want to be here, Lord, to hear Thy word. Lord, we're just so appreciative of everything You've done for us, Lord. It's so hard. It's so hard, Lord, to express the thanksgiving that we feel in our hearts, Lord, for what You've done for us. Lord, there's no words that can speak what we feel. We just love and appreciate You, Lord, and we just ask You to bless us this night. Bless us with Thy word once again, revelation of Thy word. We'll give You all the praise, glory, and honor it's due unto You. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Page 9 in our capstone life. Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed, all ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring your every burden, bring your every care. Oh, come unto me. Page 9 in the same book, back a few pages. God delivers again. Standing there at the Red Sea, God's people begin to complain. Soon Pharaoh and his mighty army would take us in bondage again. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, Moses did cry. Then God parted the waters and they walked to the other side. Oh, God delivers again. Oh, my God. Amen. When it seems that all is lost, He reaches out His hand. Then all the forces of evil have to flee. Amen. Yes. Just when things look hopeless, my God, He delivers again. We won't bow to Your idols, the Hebrew children proclaim. So the king gave the command, throw them into the flame. The king said, did we not cast 3 men into, amen, hallelujah. Oh, I see 4 men unloosing the fire, unheard, and they're walking up. Hallelujah. Oh, God delivers again. Oh, my God delivers again. When it seems that all is lost, He reaches down His hand. Then all the forces of evil have to flee at His command. Just when things look hopeless, my God delivers again. Oh, we won't bow to Your idols, the Hebrew children proclaim. So the king gave the command, throw them into the flame. The king said, did we not cast 3 men into the furnace bound? Amen. I see 4 men unloosing the fire, unhurt, and they're walking around. Oh, God delivers again. Delivers again. Listen to that last. We won't bow to your idols. When you stand on the word, you stand firm. God will take care of the situation. Amen. So the king gave the command, regardless what's everybody around you saying, whatever they're blaming you for or condemning you for, Amen. If you do the right thing, God will always bless you. Amen. Oh, God delivers again. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Amen. When it seems that all is lost, He reaches down His hand. Then all the forces of evil have to flee at His command. Just when things thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Page 224. I only believe. Amen. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day. Day is done. thankful. When you don't think there's anybody there you can depend on, He's always with you. He's always there. Amen. So comforting. Amen. Brother Settles, would you take up the offering this evening? Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, truly, we're so thankful that you're always there with us.
Amen.
Lord, always have your eye on us. Lord, we can lean on you in the time of trouble and test.
Yes.
Such a wonderful, comforting thought. Lord, we pray, Lord, we come to this part of the service, Father. Lord, the offering, Lord, we pray that you would bless it and multiply it. Father, meet the needs here around the place, Lord, that we may have a place to come to and have money to help those that need help. Lord, we just pray that you would have your way, have your will in everything that's said and done. May it be pleasing in thy sight. We ask in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Mercy rewrote my life. Amen. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. God, mercy rewrote my life. Amen. Sister Ginsel in your prayers. Brother Bobby, pray God will comfort him and keep him. Amen. Sister Brother DeLong, would you take the request this evening?
Heavenly Father, amen. We appreciate your love and mercy and grace unto us, Lord. And truly, each one of us, Lord, we should be able to look back at our lives and see how that your mercy rewrote our lives,
amen.
Lord. Truly, I can see how your mercy rewrote my life, Lord. Look where you brought me from, Lord, and my God, I appreciate it, Lord.
Amen.
I pray tonight, Father, we gather here and we bring requests, Lord, of each and every one here tonight that raised their hand, Lord. And you know the need, Lord. You know the desire in the heart, Lord. We pray, Father, tonight that you grant those things, Lord, and my God, they might bring glory and honor unto your name. And we pray for those that are sick and afflicted, Lord, that you just reach down your hand and touch them, Lord, and raise them up for your honor and your glory. And we pray tonight for the message that comes forth, Lord, and you'll anoint the messenger, Lord, anoint his lips as he speaks your word, Lord. And my God, we pray that you'll anoint our hearts, Lord, and receive your word, Lord, and he might bring forth fruit unto righteousness and holiness, Lord. And my God, we might be strengthened a little. We might draw closer to you, Lord, and dedicate and consecrate our lives more fully unto you.
Amen.
We ask these things now, all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Sing our little chorus, God is so good. Amen. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Oh, I love him so. that the truth? Amen. You may be seated. Anyone got a song in their heart this evening? Anybody got a song they want to sing? The kids got a song. Amen. Come on up. Pastor comes, let's just sing that little chorus again. We can all stand here. Jesus, we just want to serve you. Jesus, we just want to serve you. Jesus, we just serve you, serve you for me. Serve you. Amen. We just want to thank you. Amen. Oh, Jesus.
around and holler and carry on. But that, he says, that ain't living. That isn't living. He said, I'm a missionary, and I've heard heathens kick around and holler more than we could and profess to know gods and things like that. They're not living. See, they're dead while they're living. The Bible said so. Now we find that this choice is given to us. But he compromised to Satan's one word and died. And if, he said, the beginning, which God in his grace and mercy could have bypassed all the suffering that we've done and all these deaths of little babies and everything and wars and internals and crucifixions and things that we've had, he says, if he could have bypassed it, his sovereignty of his word would have permitted him to bypass it. He would have been unjust if he didn't bypass it then. Do you get it? He said he can't bypass it. He never bypassed it for Adam to begin with, and he won't bypass it for you and I to begin with. We must come to the thing, the word only. Let every man's word be a lie and mine be true, he said. Now we're just looking for what day we're living in, the harvest time. And it's and when he said another place in this message, he said, I don't understand really why, I don't know why I'm titling this harvest time, but you can see as he's begin to move into this why it's harvest time. And I believe we're in harvest time right now, friends. Amen. It's getting so close. I actually looked up the word harvest and wrote it down. It says it's the season for gathering in, the act or process of gathering in a mature crop. My, talk about maturity. When a man lives by the word of God alone, and not by bread, but word lives by every word that proceeds in the mouth of God. That's getting into a mature crop, you know. They've had all the teaching and bringing forth of the word of God, and the word of God had come forth, and they begin to yield to it and surrender to it. Every time they hear a word, that true bride surrenders to it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And the body is becoming subject to the word of God. And you see the word of God beginning to express itself instead of it just being written on paper in the Bible or listened to on messages that a prophet spoke. But it becomes alive, you see, and real in people's lives. And that's what we've been doing all this gathering here for, coming to services, to hear the word of God. Because as we receive the word of God, we become the word of God, you see. So we want to pay attention to what he's saying in this. Because it's so important and so real. Because as I said this morning, it's come to the point that where people have a little word, big word. You know, this word isn't important. This one is. I ain't worried about keeping this one. I'll just worry about keeping that one. You know, and you might as well not keep any of it. Because it's one word being broke, you see, and it breaks that chain he spoke about. You know, a chain's only as strong as its weakest link. And you're dangling over hell. That chain. And if that weak link that's there, that you don't really believe one thing, and then your life proves it and manifests it, that chain's broke. And in hell you'll go, you see. We lose that importance of that. We lose the reality of it. It's just things preachers have talked about. It's things preachers have spoken on, the prophets spoke about it in scriptures. Talk about these things and it's not real. It just becomes some kind of a science fiction, some kind of fantasy, you know. It tickles our ears. I mean, like hearing it, but put a livid, it isn't there. But we like tickling our ears with it. We like listening to it and we like to be entertained with it, you know. And you know, it'll come to that time where people just want to be entertained with the word. Just entertained with it. Gives them something to think about, to live by, they think. But friends, if it didn't take them seriously and go all the way with it, it'll be death to you. You see? So he says, we're just looking for what day we're living in, the harvest time. Then God, after Adam had failed, tried by the word and failed. God continued in his creation to try to find a man who would live by every word. Naturally, we go to Jesus Christ.
Yes. Our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one. But it didn't stop there. No. He says, he tried to find a man who would live by every word. Now look, he tried to find that. And he says that, he said, to live the word for his age. Now you see, God scattered his word out because he could. He is infinite. He is omnipresent, omniscient. Therefore, he knows all things. He can't be present everywhere by being omniscient, knowing all things. But then he can be present everywhere because he is omniscient. Because that's the way he predestinates us, by foreknowledge. Not because he desired that this person should be saved and this one lost, but he knew who would be lost and who would be saved. Therefore, by his foreknowledge, he can predestinate. And he makes everything work for his glory. That's what his attributes are doing, displaying to his glory. One vessel of honor, one of dishonor. But it's God that maketh it. Not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. No man can come to me, said Jesus, except my Father draws him. And all that the Father hath, past tense, give me, will come to me, to the word. How can they come unless they were all, he says, unless they were, are all, they were foreordained to come. As many as received him, to them give he the power to become sons of God. See, because their names were on the book, he come to redeem what was on the book. I'll skip down a little bit because I'm going to try to save a little bit of time. He says here, now we find out Satan caused Adam to fall by that one word. And God continued on now in his creation to try to find one man who would live by every word. His first man failed, which was Adam. And this man would live his time, his age that he lived in. Now, see, there is a there is different ages that God prophesied from the beginning, which would take place all down. He said that's the reason he could tell the end from the beginning, is because he knew all things. He made all things by Jesus Christ and for him and for his own pleasure. Notice closely now, don't miss this. I want you to remember, there's these different ages. We come down to this last age, and we're to what? Live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, look what God did in this age. God sent a prophet. He talked about it in Malachi 4, Revelation. All these different places, he would bring a prophet in the age, which he did that. And all them loose ends, things not understanding, it tied all together so people could understand. That means they have more understanding. They have more word that they could understand. Man shall live by it. Just because there's more word doesn't mean they couldn't live by it no longer. It didn't stop that. It didn't put a halt to live by every word because it was given more. God made sure it would be taken care of. That regardless of the amount of word, for whatever age it would be, they'd be able to do it for that age. You see? And God gave what took in this age to live by it. Okay? Let's go on. He says here, what if Moses would have come bringing Noah's message? It wouldn't have worked. Couldn't have. No. See, this ain't the age to have Noah's message, or Moses' message. No. It wouldn't work. What if Jesus would have come bringing Moses' message? It wouldn't have worked. You see? No. If Jesus would have come bringing Moses' message, they still would have been killing the adulterers, stoning them to death. But it changed. Grace began to move in. You see? A different message came forth. Now people are to live by something else instead of stoning people. Talking about? The word of God came for another age. Now it was forgiven them. Right?
That's right.
And even Apostle Paul began to say, how many times, or Jesus said, how many times shall I forgive when he was asked? 70 times 7.
Amen.
Wow. That's a different message than what Moses had.
That's right.
Yeah. So Moses' message wouldn't have worked. But now look at the message we have today. Jesus Christ having the preeminence in people's lives. Of people truly having the mind of Christ. Of people that the principle Jesus Christ will be the principal theme of their walk, talk, everything in life. Everything that God brought through that messenger in the last days. Now there's a message come forth. Oh my. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, these words proceeded out of the prophet's mouth and was God's words. You see? And people may come along and say, yeah, but he didn't say, thus saith the Lord on everything. It doesn't make no difference what he said, thus saith the Lord on everything. If it's after them seals was revealed, that was the messenger came forth and spoke to the bride of this age.
Amen.
You see? People can't get it. They miss it a million miles. You see? They can't get a hold of it. All right? They want to depend on somebody else to tell them what it is. There's only one way to know it, and that's by revelation.
Amen.
Yeah. You see? Always remember something. Those apostles walked with Jesus Christ every day. Apostle Paul didn't have that opportunity. But he had a greater revelation than all those apostles had.
Amen.
Yeah. I never walked with Jesus as far as flesh. But he had a revelation. You see? He says, we've got to find out what the scripture says for today. This day is what man is to live for. His age. What has God brought for this age? First thing he did, he tried Noah. Noah failed him. Got drunk and he failed. Moses, that great mighty masterpiece of God's, he tried him. He failed. He glorified himself and wasn't permitted to go into the promised land. Then come David, that he was going to reflect his great millennium in David, and he was going to show what his king was. And God swore by David he would rise up and raise up his son to sit on his throne. And David was such a gallant man. So he was a man after God's own heart, and David was doing good. And he smote all the Philistines and tore down the altars and stayed with the word. And finally, a pretty woman upset him, and he broke the commandment, lost the word, committed adultery, a man after his own heart. Still, David failed him. Moses failed him. All the rest of them failed him. But all their lives were just a reflection of the one that was to come. Finally, the perfect one arrived. Now he arrived to tempt, he says, now he arrived to be tempted in every point, just like we are. The Bible said he was. He was tempted like Noah. He was tempted like Moses. He was tempted like all the rest of them. If we had time to break that down and show you, but we haven't because he said, I don't want to take too much of your time. But to break it down and show you, he was tempted in every same manner. Satan never changes his tactic. Remember that. Satan never changes that tactic. Neither does God change. Or it says, neither does God. He just changes the ages. Oh. So God don't change his tactics either. He just changes the ages. Satan got back in there to the first family of God on earth. And here it is. Brother, sister, don't fail to get this. How did Satan get the first family? He couldn't break it no other way but to get that word broke. Remember that. For they were fortified behind that word. He said, if he could only get one gap. See, Adam and Eve were fortified with the word of God. But Satan knew if he could only just get one gap in there. And get Eve to think that what she was going to do was all right. What do you think that same devil is doing today?
Amen.
If he can get you to do one thing that's contrary to the word and get you to think it's all right, it's the same devil.
Right.
It's the same tactics. And when he reaches his goal of presenting that tactic to you and you accept it, to you it becomes a little word. It's no more, no fantastic word. God spoke. It's just a little thing. What's the big deal if I break this word? What's the big deal when stress comes and trials of life comes? I blow up and then I say things I should never say. What's the big deal? Everybody gets upset. No. No. Not everybody. Well, some littler things takes to get them upset. Others it takes bigger things to get them upset. And some let nothing upset them. Go on. He says here, all right, let's see if I want to read this part or not. He says, it's every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now closely confine this now. Now he finally, this one that would arrive and had to be tempted just exactly like the rest of them was tempted. Now notice how striking Satan makes his every attack, just the same each time. Now he tried to give him the natural bread, just like he did Eve. If you will eat this, take this, or something other, he's got it. And that's what he does to every organization. That's what he does to every individual. Yeah. He tries to give you the natural things that you can look at. Yeah. And it's taking you away. He says, he goes on to talk about, well, look at this great big church. Why, they got many millions. And see, look at this great big church. He says, our church is the biggest church in the city. Well, we have the mayor comes to our church. And he goes on to different things like that. He said, that's just like the world is always trying to compare. Don't compare with the things of the world. Don't compare with churches. Compare with the Bible. Yeah. Compare with the Bible. That's what we're doing today. That's what's the matter with us Pentecostal churches. That's what's the matter with our quartets and singings and so forth we have. We're trying to act like Hollywood. Hollywood glitters, the gospel glows. There is a lot of difference between glitter and glow. Hollywood glitters with clothes and Rickies and Rickettas and Rockettas. He says, but God humbly glows in humility of the believer, no matter how ignorant he is. He glows in humility. You see, let's go on. Let's skip over a little bit. He says here, now notice, they tried to make him eat something besides the bread of life that every man should live by. But Jesus stayed with the Father's word. I like that. Oh, he didn't hit Eve then. See, he never hit Moses. He never hit any of the rest of them. He hit one that was going to reflect every word. Yeah. See, he's the reason. He was the word, but Jesus stayed with the word. Refused his theological seminary doctrine. Yes, sir, his new light. His more experience. He couldn't push it on Jesus like he pushed it off on Eve to show her, oh, surely God doesn't mean this. But Jesus knew God meant because he was the word, you see. Oh, surely God would be in this if we could get together and make a whole world council church, and surely God would be this. But he wants unity and he wants brotherhood with himself, not with the world, brotherhood with himself, worship to himself. That's what he died for, that you would worship to him as ever. If he could, he said he skips it a little bit. Now we find out that he failed. Jesus went right back to him with, thus saith the Lord. What are we supposed to go back with? The same thing. That bride will keep still. Unless she's got, thus saith the Lord. Remember the prophet writing that in the pen, in the letter of the Holy Spirit told him to pick up his pen, right? That little bride will keep still unless she's got, thus saith the Lord. You see? Now when he sees that a believer, watch the believer come in these same categories now. Categories of what? Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ. So will man live by word, every word again today? Absolutely. Regardless what fanatics or legalists say about it, it's not fanaticism. It is, thus saith the Lord, that man shall live by the word. Not bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's God's word. You see? He says, watch the believer come in these same categories now, each one of you. When he sees you're going to stay with the Bible. Yeah, I believe the Bible. I ain't joining no creed and thing out there. I'm going to stay with the Bible. And we had opportunity to believe creeds. We had opportunity to believe things that was man's ideas. Things that changed from one day to the next. You know, couldn't hold no continuity to it. We had that opportunity. But by God's grace, we stayed with the Word. And it'll only be God's grace if we can stay continuously on the Word. And our everyday individual experiences. In home life, on the job, driving down the highway, wherever it may be. It'll only be God's grace if you can continue to stay with the Word. And as ever, if he can't get you to believe or to live the real truth and to believe the Word, now he stops her. He says, I want you to notice what he done to Jesus a second time. If he ain't to get you and say, I ain't going to join no creed, I ain't going to, and I was born free, and I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to do this, that, and the other. See, join the church, and you come and join, and something other. He can't get you to do that. Then he'll do something else to you. If he can't get you caught on a creed, some man's creeds, ideas, he's going to try something else. He may have to come down in your individual life and try something else. Something in your home. Something between family. Something on the job. Yeah. He'll try anything he can to get you to have a little word in your life. That's not important. He won't just stop. If he can't get you on a creed, he'll keep on trying. You see? Let's go on. If he doesn't, then he'll send you off to his own seminary to be taught by his own theologians. See, where Satan is the interpreter. Oh, the days of miracles is past. That people down there, oh, I got, well, that's a bunch of heretics. He says, he'll send you there. Oh, you may say, wait a minute, Brother Branham, just a minute now. Yeah, let's just wait a minute, see? You say, aren't we supposed to, no, sir. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, now listen, can the bride do this? Absolutely. She can live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And it's not fanaticism. It's the Word. But as long as we think it ain't the Word, think, I'm human. I'll never live by every word. Jesus Christ was human too. Was he not? Amen. In a human flesh body? Absolutely was. But what if that same spirit that was in him comes in here? It's just a different flesh, but it's the same spirit. Amen. Is that right? But Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, see, he will bring these things that I have taught to your memory. Wow. That's powerful. How else could a man or a woman live with every word that proceeds in the mouth of God? If it ain't brought to their memory, of what to do in those circumstances, what's going to happen? They're not going to live by the Word. But what if he, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, brings that Word to your remembrance as that test comes up and that trial is facing you head on, and he brings it to your remembrance, and plus he gives you the desire to do everything he said to do. Tell me who's going to else live by every word that proceeds in the mouth of God. Those whom he predestinated. And that same spirit dwells within. Yeah. He says, he will bring these things that I have taught to your memory, the Word. And he also will show you things to come. Yeah. He said, there is the real spirit-filled church now that stays with the Word.
reflects the word.
It what? Reflects the word. God on earth. Again. Wow. He doesn't need any theologian. No. Because his word is of no private interpretation.
He interprets his own word by vindicating it and proving it that it's the truth. Someone will live by every word that proceeds out of God. God promised it. It will happen. It's harvest time. It's time it'll happen.
When the Methodist Church told you you couldn't receive the Holy Ghost like they did on the day of Pentecost, did you pay attention to it?
Certainly not.
You went right along and got the Holy Ghost anyhow. He says, yet in a little while, I pray the Father, he'll send you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. A little while in the world won't see me no more. He says, me, he repeats, no more. Yet ye shall see me.
Wow.
For I will be with you.
And even in you. Can he do the same today as he did yesterday? He sure will. Don't come around here telling me that people is never going to live by every word. You don't believe the word. Yeah. Somebody's messed your thinking up. Oh yeah, you've accepted some kind of intellectual idea some man give you. You will live by every word that proceeds. What was the use in Jesus saying that if man wasn't going to do it? But oh no, they got all kinds of excuses. Why? Because they can't live it. They don't have the desire to do it. There's nothing there that really presses them to make sure it's every word, every word, every word. They got their little words in their life. Oh, it doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean that. No.
Yet you shall see me, for I will be with you, even in you, to the consummation, end of the world. I said, yeah, that's him. Come on the day of Pentecost. Yes, sir. He came and lived in them. Notice, in the form of the person of the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost, as we understand the Godhead.
Wow. Can't that same Jesus Christ, I ask you again, do it again today? If he comes and lives in the people again, why, sure he can. But Satan don't want you to know that. He don't want you to believe that. He wants you to believe one thing. And don't take and bring the other word in with it. We'll make mistakes till Jesus comes. And then men come up with their doctrines and theories on using that one thing. We'll never be perfect. Be ye perfect even as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Ephesians 4. He gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists for the work of the ministry. For edifying the body of Christ till we come into the unity of the faith. And what was they given for? For the perfecting of the saints. How much more perfect can you get than live by every word? You see? Oh my. People can't believe the word. But they can sure believe Satan's tactics and excuses. Well, I'd get so despondent if I knew I had to live by every word. Well, then get despondent. You'll be lost. You weren't ordained to it. Those are ordained to it will live by it. And they'll see they were sent for that purpose. That every word live. Yes, they may make mistakes. But that's why the blood of Jesus Christ is still there. That immediately they make that mistake, they can put it under the blood. Oh, God, forgive me and help me to never do that again. True repentance. True repentance is turning away from that past sin. You see? And don't do it again. But if you do get trapped and do it maybe another time, the blood of Jesus Christ is there. That God knows your heart. Yes. He knows what you're thinking. He knows your attitude toward his word. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, this ain't for babies. This ain't for impersonators. This ain't for make-believers. This is for genuine believers.
Let's go on. Real quick, let me try to get at least a certain point tonight. My time's up. Watch now as we hurry up through. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will teach you all things. Whatever I taught you, oh my, bring all remembrance to you. What I've said to you, bring to you all remembrance. Look how he says that. Stresses on it. Yeah. And he will show you things to come. He will vindicate every word. Who will vindicate every word? Jesus Christ that lives in you will vindicate every word. It ain't what we can do. That's why it's so important to have the new birth, to be born again and filled with the Spirit of God. It's been stressed on so much here in this building. Will we stand guiltless before God? Oh, on the day of judgment, friends. If we don't reach that goal that God has required, you're going to be guilty. And hellfire you'll burn after you're judged. You see? He says, bring to you all remembrance, and he will show you things to come. He will vindicate every word, confirming the word with signs following. Everything that he promised, that God promised in the Bible, if you'll turn loose from every creed, everybody could turn loose of every creed. Well, some man's idea or what his conception of what the prophet said is, instead of saying exactly what that prophet said, you know, from every creed and everything else, and hold on to that word. God is obligated to take care of his word. And so when they did this, the word vindicates itself. If you can just surrender to it and you're filled with the Spirit of God, God will take care of it. He'll bring to your remembrance the things you need. When trials and tests come up, he'll bring to your remembrance. Don't you get caught in that. This is what's wrong. Don't you do that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you say, well, I'll do this. Well, what about the other every word? I'll do this. What's our, well, I'll do this. What about every word? One word breaks that chain. One. That's it. You might have thought it was a little word. But friends, it'll break that chain well. That little word. If it don't become big word, every word's big. And every word to you personally as an individual, if you break it, you know you're going to die. But how easily can we come to the point to break so many of God's word? And my wife is disobedient to my husband. The husband asked me to do certain things, and I just don't do it. He's nobody. I'm going to tell you what, friends, little sisters. Through your husband, you're saved. You disobey him, you're lost. It might be a little word to you. It may not be nothing important to you. But you go ahead and disobey him, and you're lost. Yeah. Try to make it in without that. Try to. While you're living right now, everything looks like you can do it. You're a woman. You can make it. No man's going to make me do anything or tell me to do anything. Go ahead, try it. You're like the woman on that high hill as I walk on that straight, narrow line. You'll go so long, but one of these days you're going to topple off. And you'll be screaming for help. And there'll be no help. And that husband loves you and respects you and honors you. But you can't even meet his request. You're disobedient. Disobedient, unruly wife. Oh, Brother Steve, I'm not slapping him with my rolling pin and throwing my pans at him. Don't have to. Just disobey him. And he may not be ruling you with an iron thumb and all that and dictating you. He just asks you to do something.
but you never seem to have time to do it. You just don't want to seem to get around to it. Go ahead. Disobey him. You'll be sorry one day. You'll be sorry. Do you believe that?
Amen.
You better believe it. Or God's word ain't true. That's right. But I know God's word is true. Bringing to remembrance, he repeats again. He stresses this greatly. Bringing to remembrance, he vindicates every word. Bringing to remembrance, he vindicates his own word through you. By bringing to remembrance through you, the body reacts to it. Yes. You see it manifest, the word. By what he brings to remembrance, which only through Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost being in you. He vindicates every word, and we live by it. Hallelujah. Live by it, he repeats. Man shall live by every word. Every word vindicated. Wow. Every word vindicated. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Shall follow them that believe, he repeats. Take a hold of it. God vindicates it, that it's truth. Yeah. Little woman, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, he'll vindicate through you that you're obedient to your husband. Husband, he'll vindicate through you that you love your wife. You honor her. Yes. He'll vindicate. Young people, he'll vindicate through you if you obey your parents and you honor your parents. He'll vindicate it through you. You'll live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He'll vindicate it through me if maybe being in business. He'll vindicate it if I don't cheat people. People will trust you. They can depend on you. They know that you'll do the job right. Yeah. It'll vindicate. Yeah. But if I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost, it'll vindicate that I'm trying to skin them, as the old saying is. Trying to take them. Won't do the job right. Yeah. Try to cheat them. Yeah. He'll vindicate it. It'll show up. We can't show anything of what's on the throne of our heart. It has to show. It'll be there. It has to show. It will have to show whatever's on the throne of our heart. That's what we live by. And people see it every day. Yeah. They see it every day. Regardless of what you're doing in life, they see it. This is real. This is truth, regardless how many people says it's fanaticism. Don't pay attention to it. It's the truth. Satan don't want you to live by every word. So if he can get into somebody's mind and get something going in their thoughts that, oh, this ain't the way it is, don't you believe that? That's nonsense. And then tell you it's nonsense and it'll never happen. That's just what Satan wants. I'm telling you what the word says.
Amen.
Yes. That same Christ is living in you. He's more than able to live by every word.
Amen.
Yes, he is. My. In closing, won't you sisters come on up, please? But then again, I raised with him on Easter. How many knows you raised with him on Easter?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But then again, I raised with him on Easter and triumphed over all things. He says, all the carnal and of the carnality of the world. Hallelujah. Raised above it in him. Notice it doesn't reflect the word then. No, it doesn't vindicate it now. But if you believe the word, God will vindicate it himself. He did here in Jesus. See? He did here in Jesus. The word bread alone means to be fed on. And man shall live by bread like this bread alone. By every word.
So that's the word bread. Keep that in mind. This is the bread that the church through every age has fed on and has been the hidden manna just for the overcomer.
For the who? For the overcomer. Not those that don't overcome. For the overcomer. This has been the hidden manna. For the overcomers are sitting here tonight and eating on hidden manna. Or somebody sitting right beside you may not be feeding on it. It's still hidden. They can't see it. And there's little words in their life. They could care less if they ever left it. They think they're Christians in doing so. And just forgetting about certain words that, so what? It's not important. It's not important that I obey my husband. I've got just as much right as he does. No, you don't. No, you don't. Man was made first. And woman come from it, the man's side. And the man should rule over her in all things. We afraid to say that? Your sister's afraid to say that? Say amen to it? Well, you just don't like that idea. Don't like that thought. No man will tell me what to do. It's a little word to you, isn't it? And you're hanging over hell by that one word. Don't let that one word you to drop into hellfire. Amen. How many little words is in our life? How many little words has been created in my mind? God knows. He searcheth the reins and knows the thoughts, knows the very intents of the heart, what you intend to do. Again, I know these things isn't for just everybody, but I know it's for the believer. That's what she longs for. It's the greatest desire in her heart, to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And if she finds out she's not there where she needs to be, she's crying out, oh God, help me. Have mercy on me. Reveal it to me, Lord. Give me that type of desire. Refill me, Lord. Fill me with thy power and thy Holy Spirit. And some men think they can run their wife down and call her dirt and filth. Think she's just a rug on the floor. That man's got a little word. And you're hanging over hell by one link. And in hell you'll drop in fire and burn one of these days because that little word to you. I don't know about you, but I believe these things with all my heart. Amen. This is what I live for. This is my life. We all should be crying out, Lord, help me with my shortcomings. Let every word become so big and real in my heart that there is no such thing as a little word. In other words, there's no such thing as a word that's not important, but it's real. Now remember, we all have our tests and trials this week coming, if the Lord should tarry. We'll find out if we've got any little words in our heart or not. Or if it's all big word. I'm saying it in that way, saints, so we can catch what I'm trying to get to. You know? Sometimes I say things and I'm trying to use little different channels to try to get it to hit by the Holy Spirit, to have an opportunity to get it to click in your heart. It's what God has permitted and God's will. I trust we'll all see the urgency of time we're living in. It's getting close. So close. Amen. Let us all stand. Amen. Have you got a song that's on your heart? You want to sing? Amen, Brother Timothy? Isn't that the truth? I tell him every time I go to get up here behind this pulpit, I tell him, I say, Lord, I can't do it. I'm so weak-minded as far as memory. I do not have the ability to do so. I always tell the Lord. When I'm walking out that room, I tell him, I say, Lord, I can't do it. Don't know what to say. Don't know what to do. I need you, Lord. Without you, I can do nothing. Without him, I'd be nothing but mute. But I trust God will help me in everything in life to make every decision the way he would make it, that I wouldn't do anything that would be displeasing to him. Amen. I'm going through something right now in my own personal life. This is me. That's what everybody else does. Within myself right now, I'm battling, trying to decide something. I want to sell almost everything I've got and get rid of it. So I feel somebody's just so close to the appearing of the Lord. I don't want junk. Being Joel. I know your prophet said plant taters till Jesus comes. But within my heart, I want to get rid of everything. Everything. As long as there's a roof over my head, that's all that matters. I was cleaning some of my guns up yesterday and thinking about, I want to get rid of them so bad. Tractors. Get rid of them. It's in my heart. Just get rid of it all. But Lord, what do I do? Yeah, people really think I'm fanatic then. But what if the Lord Jesus comes next Sunday? Without him, I can do nothing. So don't those things mean something to you? See, it don't mean nothing to me. I thank God he's let me borrow it. But it's not mine to begin with. No. Nothing. God knows my heart. I honestly feel that way. Honestly. It's just a bunch of junk. It's going to melt. The ashes. Then what will it mean? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I want to sell that business so bad I can't understand it. But I think, what would I do? I have to work somewhere. No. I don't want nothing. I came in this world without nothing. I'm going to leave it with nothing. Amen. Maybe it's hard for you to feel that way. But it's easy for me. I'm battling trying to decide what to do with it. Lord, do you really want me to get rid of it? Don't we just quit everything? I farmed a little bit because I need exercise. Stand at office all day long. Animals. I carry buckets of water and hay. Morning and night. Do different things with them. I get a little exercise. Because a little body exercise profits a little something. Apostle Paul said, I don't want to turn to mush, you know. Honest to goodness, I can't see a sense of running on a tread machine. Such a waste of time. Yeah. Lifting weights, such a waste of time. Why not do something productive to get some little bit of exercise? The way I look at it, it's me, you know. But a piece of equipment just blows my mind. Junk. Try to do something to get. Do something? Why not do something physically that's worth something? You know? At least something you can enjoy. Throwing a bell, hey. I enjoy that. with a set of barbells. I can't stand the looks of them. You see? It's me. But I'm different anyway. If you ain't got nobody to pray for, just pray and ask God, Lord, lead Brother Steve on whether to get rid of everything or not. You know? Because believe me, it won't bother me at all. And I wouldn't expect nobody else to do that. Nobody. You're your own person. You're an individual. You know? You do what you want to do and what you see in life. And by no means, if I do it, don't you ever use that as an example. No. I'm my own person with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe he's got something else for me. I don't know. Maybe I'll travel and do some ministering and get thrown out here and there. Yeah. I don't know. Not my will, but thine be done, O God. Amen. That's the position I want to be in with Jesus Christ. Not have anything of my own. I am yours, Lord. I was born for this purpose. And for this purpose, Jesus Christ shall live. Again, in flesh. Let me be one of them, Lord. Amen. How great he is. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him I would but fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship.
Close of one more service. And Lord, truly how the word is so quick and powerful, Lord. And Lord, to show us, Lord, is there something in our lives we're calling a little word? Something in myself I've justified, Lord, and said it's okay. But yet, Lord, your Holy Spirit's pricking at my heart saying, that's not to be. Lord, help us to yield to you, Lord, and to let you mold us into the character that you seem for us to be. Lord, conform to your image. And Lord, we've come today and humbly ask, Lord, that you would do this in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, your precious word has been served. And Lord, we've partaken of it. And Lord, may our bodies truly show that we have partaken of it, Lord, and may it cause us to grow a higher rung in you, Lord. That's what we ask for, Lord, this today. And Lord, we thank you for the channels that you've provided, Lord, the places you've given us together, the ministry, Lord, that we have. Lord, it's all by your mercy and grace. Lord, the desire we have to come and to sit and listen. Lord, may we not just sit and listen in vain, but Lord, may we truly yield ourselves unto you and say, Lord, here am I. Mold me, Lord. Create me, Lord. Whatever is needed in my life, Lord, give it to me. Lord, we thank you for that desire. We thank you for the opportunity we've had. And Lord, we just continue to ask your blessings, Lord, on Sister Gensel.
Yes.
And Brother Bobby, Lord, touch them. Lord, and anyone else that may have something in their body they need a touch for. Sister Marilyn, Lord, touch her. Brother Leffler, Lord, I know sometimes as we get older and we have to miss service because of different situations, it's rough on us. But Lord, give us the peace to accept what you have for us, Lord, and give us the word that we have need of, Lord. Even though we're young, we may be old, middle-aged, Lord, each of us has got a place to fulfill.
Yes, we do.
And Lord, you've got us each one in the palm of your hand. And Lord, may we learn to yield to you and let you have that control, for you know what's best for us, Lord. And we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it and praise your wonderful name. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. So glad I'm yours, Lord, as we go.
Amen. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad you're.
Set you free. Yes, amen. Amen.
Thank you.
May the Lord richly bless you. You're dismissed.